Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to For Geek's Sake. My name is Al Sterling. In the studio today with a good friend of the show, Mr. Elijah Leffel.
What's going on?
And the audacious co-host, Danielle Bates.
That's not my name.
Wilczewski.
Hey, everyone.
I was so focused on
the audacious.
On a gender-neutral adjective.
I feel like audacious is actually not a positive.
It's you
adjective.
Know what? You decide if it's positive or negative. I consider audacious to be a compliment.
Oh, okay. Do you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been called audacious a lot. Is audacious not a compliment? I also may not know what audacious means. That's also possible.
Oh, Al.
So we've got a this week in B-roll. Dan is. I want to tell the story of why Dan's not here.
Are you sure you should?
Definitely well, should.
Producer Dan.
He shouldn't have told you why he wasn't coming.
He shouldn't have. It's his fault.
Let this be a warning to you, Dan.
Producer Dan calls me today and he says, listen, and he wanted to be here because we're discussing Suicide Squad. There'll be spoilers, but not until towards the end here. But he says to me, I can't make it in. I don't think I'll make it in today. I was cooking bacon and took a big old bacon grease burn on my foot. And so now I can't really. He was on his way to like the hospital and stuff. Like it was bad.
So let this be a lesson to you. Do not cook bacon the same day you are going to come in and record a podcast.
Actually, I think he did it yesterday because he had to work his day job.
Oh, my God. Wait, so this is a burn from yesterday and he's going in now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would be bad.
Yeah, this is why we were discussing before the show, and I think it's important, really important that we do it right now, too. I cook bacon on medium.
My husband cooks our bacon in a baking pan and then takes the baking grease and makes eggs with it. So.
And I make the bacon in the oven or the microwave because I'm trendy.
He uses the toaster oven. Because he uses that for everything.
Toaster ovens are amazing.
I know, but like we have a regular oven. Can we not use a regular oven?
The toaster oven is the single most undervalued appliance in the kitchen. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely correct. 110%.
Chris will be like, oh, let's bake a pizza tonight. You know, like a take and bake. And so I turn on the regular oven. He's like, it fits in the toaster oven. Okay, but we have an oven.
Yeah, but look at how much space you're wasting.
But I'm not going to get rid of the oven.
No. There's times when you're going to want that oven. You're not making your Thanksgiving bird in the...
I don't make Thanksgiving. We don't do that.
It's just ultimately more efficient.
It is.
Our toaster oven has actually a cutout in the back, so a full-size pizza fits inside of it.
So my husband is going to love this intro for sure because he is always telling me to use the toaster oven.
The toaster oven is fun. Can I tell you this right now? I don't own one, and I weep nightly. Mm. At my lack of toaster oven. Now, I could just go spend $30 and buy one, but I prefer to weep softly in the night.
Because it makes more sense.
Right. I mean, it's more audacious.
It's you're much more of a martyr.
I am.
I'm often a martyr.
Listen, I don't martyr because martyr sounds like suffering, and I'm not about that.
You don't martyr?
No, I don't martyr.
It's not a verb.
I don't. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? It is now. Actually, it might be a verb. Is martyr a verb?
No.
Look that up. See if you could be martyred. Because you could be martyred.
No.
You check it up.
You can be
martyred.
You can be martyred.
You have been martyred.
Right.
High school? Guarantee it.
Okay. So, according to Google, it can be a verb.
This is For Geek's Sake. Absolutely making good use of your time.
The definition is kill someone because of their beliefs.
Right.
So.
Or be killed.
That's true.
For your beliefs.
That's true. You can. It's not a one-way give or receive there. Actually, one of those places where it is actually better to give than receive.
So are you martyring yourself over the belief?
I don't martyr over anything. Martyring, suffering, death, I'm not about that. I'm about comfort, fat and happy.
So then maybe the $30 would be worth it. See how I circled back?
That's nice.
See how
Amazon.
I circled back?
Hey, Echo, we don't have one of those. I don't own one.
Ooh,
but
ooh, I want a dot so bad.
I don't know what a dot is. I mean, I know what the dot is.
It's a baby Echo, just not as good.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've got a lot to cover today. Enough about dots. Let's talk stuff. Up first, a new study coming out of Australia suggests that there is a link between playing online video games and increased test scores, particularly in math and science, and also an inverse reaction between
social media
and these math and science test scores. I should say up front, I am suspicious of studies that don't have like legit 100% citations in them. So this was just the article here just referred vaguely to a study from a group that does standardized testing.
They analyze the standardized tests.
Right.
Right.
And not the same test across the board.
So right.
The gamers they looked at certain scores, whereas the social media students, they looked at other scores. It's a loose study, but it raises the question.
But the correlation, duh.
Right. This is one of those which kind of do students that are math and science based more inclined to play online gaming, or do online gaming students tend to be better at math and science? You know what I mean?
But I feel like we've always known that kids that play online games, they have better like depth perception. They're going to be more apt at things like math and science. Where social media, like what does social media do? It just feeds on narcissism and social commentary. There's no like real learning involved. And not all gaming has learning, but like there are certain aspects of most games.
I thought she was going to say not all social media is bad, but no, she went the other way. And social media definitely sucks, but online gaming, you know.
I'm not saying social media sucks. I'm just saying when it comes to correlating it to studies, no, it's not going to lend itself well because.
You know the biggest problem with the study, though? They looked at 15-year-olds. There is nothing reliable about studying 15-year-olds at all.
Right. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this little show on NPR called Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, but they have this panelist, also a little-known comedian named Paula Poundstone. And every time they reference a study, she gets so angry. Like, who are they studying? Like, who studies that? And she always, like, gets really upset about it. And I feel like that's what you did with this.
Actually, you know where I pulled it from was John Oliver did a bit a while back about basically the pseudoscience and the studies. Ended it with a Todd Talk, I think it was, or whichever one it was. And it was just – and the way that they do. And this – it kills me because – the scientific research is important. Like legit hardcore scientific research, that matters.
Why? Prove it. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
And the problem here is that every time that like, you know, the 6 o'clock news reports about red wine will make you fat or healthy or cancer or cure AIDS or whatever they decided that it does, that chocolate will have better sex. Like it's all this crap pseudoscience completely ruins the actual science.
Well, the thing is, the reason why they do these studies, you know, is like because they get grant money for it.
Right. People getting paid.
Right.
No one's getting paid for those studies. That's pseudoscience.
Oh, no, no, no.
They are getting click ad dollars. Right.
Well, some of them, you know, the Institute of Chocolate went and financed a study on chocolate and found that chocolate's good for you. Who knew? You know, that.
I'm just saying, we don't know who did this study, but chances are if it was legitimately done by a scientific research facility, like, A, your results are obvious, and B, they're just doing it to get grant money. Like, who
right.
Like who couldn't have seen that correlation before you published this article?
That is
who?
True.
Well, there are other articles, like, more serious, you know, with double-blind studies and things that sort of say this already, so this sort of...
Yeah.
Right. Well, but you also have to replicate it. I think that's the other really, really big thing. And I mean, Elijah reads, you like read scientific journals and shit, don't you?
Yeah.
Like you.
He's super sciencey.
He is super sciencey. Don't let
the geek out. Come on.
I think you're in a safe place here. That's not true. That is not true at all.
No.
But replicating the results. And really, folks, if you're out looking at this study and the next time you read that wine and chocolate makes you taller and stronger or whatever the... See if anybody has reproduced those results. That's really the issue here.
Yeah, make sure that study is not originally done in 1927.
Right. and has been, or even if it has it been replicated?
Hasn't been replicated.
Has it
exactly.
been replicated a couple times?
Verified. All I want to say
is based on this study, I think I should be allowed to Pokemon Go all day long.
I can't argue with that. That's solid logic.
This study proves it.
You know what pisses me off the most though, the only reason that this 100% made the list for B-roll today was one of the last lines was they were interviewing some Australian politician who was like, yeah, they're okay as long as they aren't violent ones, and I hate that so much. This violent video game, anti-violent video game fetish.
So do you think your children should play Grand Theft Auto? I'm confused.
I don't believe that my 3-year-old should play Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, okay. I'm just
However,
making sure.
However, the correlation between violent video games
and violent,
there's no real scientific study to support that there's any correlation between these two.
But maybe there is, and maybe the link is me. I don't like guns, uh-huh. and I also don't like first-person shooter games.
Well, that's it. Never
Ta-da!
Mind. Never. All that shit I said before about science, screw all that. We've definitively proved.
I've proven it at
all.
There
we go.
It's true.
So, no, where do we go to collect our grant money? Is that a... All right. Up next, Facebook. So Facebook came out, I think, about a week or two ago, and announced that they had new advertising algorithms that were going to put in place that was going to get around ad blockers. So if you're not familiar with ad blockers, basically what an ad blocker does is it goes through and it pulls the ads off of your sites, off of the websites you go to, so you don't have to look at them. The problem, of course, is for content creators.
Or for Facebook in general,
absolutely. That's how they get paid when those ads, whether you click on them or not,
right?
Just
they have to show up,
right? That's actually, if you'll notice, Geek Street Station has introduced an ad block, and I don't even care.
Getting rich,
I'm gonna post my earnings right here and now. In the month and a half since we've introduced advertisements,
whoa! Are you sure you want to do this?
I'm fine with it. Let my competition know what's coming.
Now you hear it. You've heard it here first. We are all about
transparency. Absolutely.
Here on For Geek's
Sake.
This
is Goliath letting David know.
All right, go ahead. go ahead.
After a month and a half, we're up to 56 cents off of that.
Yes, I'm going to be so rich, you guys.
We are approximately 6 months away from getting a Wendy's 4 for $4.
So what I would like to suggest.
Wait, no, I'm sorry. A year away or so getting.
What I would like to suggest to our listeners is maybe you could click on those links a little bit, get us paid. I'm just kidding.
Don't ad block our site, please.
Yeah, don't do that.
We just put one little one in the corner and we're making pennies a day.
and we can't even collect on the pennies yet.
No, because this is true. We're using Google AdWords, and Google AdWords won't pay you out.
For like months, right?
You have to have $100 sitting there before they will pay out.
$100 for more than like a while.
Yeah, it rolls. Right. So as soon as even though it'll take us, by current estimations, 5 or 6 years to get to $100, once we do, then it's another 2-3 months for Google to mail.
Y'all don't even know how much work we put in for that 56 cents, so you're welcome.
I don't want to think about how many hours. Like, I don't want to calculate out that.
But we don't do it for the money yet.
We are trying to. We're trying to sell out over here, and nobody will buy. Back to Facebook. So Facebook said, you know what? All these ad blockers, they're not going to be able to get around this. Ha! Which is, can I just say right now, dumb. Why would you challenge?
Like, and say you're challenging.
Right. Nobody can hack this. Like, why? There's a million hackers that are bored looking for something to aim at.
They hacked
just all gave them
a Jeep.
And 100% of the time when a statement like that gets made, the hacking is successful.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It took I'll go ahead. Did you guys already know how long it took them?
I do not know that fact.
Do you know already?
I'm going to say less than 24 hours.
Less than 24 hours. What are you giving it, Danielle?
I'm going to say
this was AdBlock Plus, so this is a company, not just a random guy.
I'm going to say 1 hour.
Okay. You both are a little under. It actually took them a full 2 days.
But that's still impressive.
It is. Well, I'm assuming they actually did it in like 6 hours and then spent a day and a half confirming.
There's at least 12 hours before they find out there's a new ad block.
No. Facebook announced that it was coming.
Okay.
Facebook came out.
So they were ready to start as soon as it drops.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee. They're like, and you know what? I imagine the AdBlock Plus offices, they just drew straws to see who gets to go do it.
Well, props to AdBlock because that gave them, not AdBlock, but Facebook, because 2 whole days they held out.
That's true.
That's some serious security.
Exactly. I would have, if I had to guess, if I hadn't read the article, I would have said a similar. I'd be like, I don't know, like an hour and a half. Like,
can I just tell you that I never used AdBlock or an ad blocker and now I kind of want to.
Well, here's the issue. So when we post new episodes of For Geek's Sake on Facebook, we actually boost the post and it shows up as an ad. So the ad block also removes our stuff because of the way the content gets flagged.
Okay, people, don't block us.
Well, if you block Facebook, you're blocking. If you block Facebook ads, you're blocking us too.
Interesting.
And that's fine. I mean, you know, I don't have a problem with people using ad blockers. It's completely and totally up to you. It does. I would say that. I would ask folks to kind of keep in mind where you're doing it. Don't do it on every site, especially if you got small independent sites, because we specifically only did ad blocks in one spot. There's no – Geek Street Station does not have any of the ones that blow up. There's none that, like, where if you accidentally click the wrong spot, you're getting, you know, all that. We really filtered it down and kept it really small.
So here's my suggestion to listeners. If you must use Adblock Plus – go into your settings and make sure you get a notification every time we post, because we only post like 1 to 3 times a day.
Yeah, we have a 3 day, we have 3 times a day cap.
That's only a little obnoxious. So just go in and make sure you get notified, and then you can block everything.
You can also subscribe to the podcast.
Subscribe to the podcast, and you could also go on to For Geek's Sake and add that to your daily routine of website checks.
I mean, GeekStreetStation.com.
GeekStreetStation.com. What
did
I say?
Which, of course, they're already doing. So yeah, I think it's kind of an interesting thing. I thought it was funny the way that Facebook challenged.
This is just a funny, like, the way it played out. Like, it's just a funny
2 days.
Game.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that was 6 hours worth of it, because they actually released Adblock Plus, released it and saying, hey, listen, everybody, put this code into your Adblock Plus screen filter and it'll do it. Like, just copy and paste some code, you're done. Like, they didn't even roll out an update. This was not worth rolling out an update over. They just released a couple lines of code.
Here's what I find funny about the article is that in the images of the Facebook screen, they have like little game pop-ups, like not pop-ups, but like on the right side where it says here are your games or whatever. And how come Farmville isn't on there? Farmville needs to get back on the stick, you guys.
It does. Come on, Farmville. It's 2016.
I don't know.
All right, let's move on to one of Danielle's favorite topics.
I told you this was going to happen.
Killer robots. So according to the 2016 Emerging Technology Domains Risk Survey, which, of course, is part of my normal reading.
I read that every day.
Right. I read the 2014 and the 2015.
Right.
I personally felt the 2015 was better.
I actually thought that 2015 was a little lacking.
Wow, you would think that. That is so like you.
You're right.
I just sit there with my Frosted Flakes, and I just chow down while I read through Pentagon surveys. This was conducted now, and again, you know, in the spirit of sharing where these things come from.
Yep.
This was conducted by the Software Engineering Institute at Carnegie Mellon University, which is a federally funded institute backed by the Pentagon.
So this is a legitimate study. This isn't just some group in Australia that watched 15-year-old tests.
Right. Don't watch 15-year-olds unless you're a teacher. Don't just watch 15-year-olds. That's weird.
You'll get in trouble for that. And I will guarantee those Australians at least had a clipboard and a pen.
Okay.
They wrote things down. That's legitimate.
Yeah.
That's they more also, legitimate studies we do.
They exactly. Also probably had a kangaroo in the room so that they could put their clipboard in the pouch.
Did you hear that was the thing from the Rio Olympics? The Australians were complaining about the horrific state of the Olympic Village. And so somebody in charge in Rio was like, we'll put in a kangaroo in there so they can feel more at home.
Oh, my God.
Well, the best Olympics graphic I've seen is they have the gold medals. Like, who's won the most gold medals? And it had one for who's been robbed the most, and Australia had 12 gold. Yeah. And number one for the most robberies.
Wow.
Just time out real quick. You realize, like, the four of the swimmers, including Ryan Lochte, were robbed at gunpoint after leaving a club.
Yeah.
Because they were in Brazil, in Rio, and they went to a club.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Although it takes some stones to rob. Like, you see, those athletes are not to be with. I mean, those are big dudes.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah. I wouldn't
do it. Even the
little
gymnasts that are like 4 feet tall will still literally kick your head directly off your shoulders.
I'm just saying, I may not be an advocate of guns. Well, not that I'm a non-advocate. I'm just, I don't own a gun. But I'm not going to.
You lost the thread there. Let's go on to killer robots. They broke this down. So I'm just going to break down this article for you, and basically I'm going to give you the highlights.
Teach me.
So they're predicting a smart robot revolution by 2021.
Of course.
They're predicting that AIs will reach human brain ability sometime in the 2020s.
Sure.
Although Intel says they'll have it done by 2018. Here's how the different ways it's going to kill you. Augmented reality can be will be hacked, and then it'll lie to you, which may not seem like a big deal for Pokemon. Which is the augmented reality everybody's working with. But if you were using AR and you're like, say, a cop or a fighter pilot, if the augmented reality says that it's over here instead of over there, that could be a problem.
Or your 2021 Tesla with an augmented reality front windshield.
It's true. That's your AR. Let's see. Home hacking, not deadly, but possibly terribly expensive.
Home hacking?
Yeah, they hack your home. You know, the smart homes, they have, we have Wi-Fi chips on our light bulbs and in our garage doors. And
yeah,
in
no. What was I just watching? Oh, Mr. Robot. Are you guys watching Mr. Robot?
No.
Okay, on like in season two, the second or third episode. I think it was the second episode. No, it actually might have been the first episode of season two. Anyways.
Very important. Thank you.
Her smart home was hacked so that she would leave to go to her other home. And then they took over her house.
Yeah.
And they turned her thermostat down really, really
low. Yes, yes. And then they like blasted music. They wouldn't let...
Exactly.
Like the alarm was going off. Her garage door was going up and down. She left. The second she left, everything stopped and they walked in. So no, this could happen now.
I was saying, that was a television show. So it wasn't... But yes, it could not. Absolutely could happen now.
But that television show is based on now. Like it's not based on futuristic robots and crap. It's based on what's happening now.
The only good news about all of that is you can actually stop all of that by unplugging your router.
Well, that's just not going to happen.
Then she can't Pokemon Go.
No, right. I can Pokemon Go without a router. I just can't do lots of other stuff.
So anyway, so smart robots, 2021, AIs, 20 by 2018.
But hang on.
Home hacking.
2021 is only 5 years away.
Right.
Right.
Come on.
No, it's coming real soon. Oh, no, that's it. 3D printers.
They're very optimistic.
They actually, 3D printers were the bright spot of this report. Those probably will not kill you.
Unless they print the weapon that your refrigerator is going to use to then murder you.
Well, they did say that they...
or your Roomba.
A refrigerator.
Well, who knows? I mean, your refrigerator's on the internet, too. Maybe it shoots...
Your little Roomba vacuum is, you know, rolling around.
I have a Neato vacuum, and it's fantastic.
Well, whatever. If that Neato vacuum gets a shiv and starts just stabbing you in the ankles...
How is it going to get a shiv in my house?
From the 3D printer. Think about this, man.
It waits by your nest, so that way when the heat gets really hot, you go to turn it down, and boom.
And boom.
Right in your ankles.
I don't have a nest. I have we don't have iris anymore.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
So not the point. Anyway, but the report did want to take a minute to mention that 3D printers will cost thousands of manufacturing jobs. So, still doom and gloom. Really just uplifting reports. Medical devices. This is one of my favorites. A lot of online medical devices already. Those can be hacked to adjust your dosage, which can kill you, to turn off monitor alarms, which can also lead to your death, and a change your medical records, which can lead to your death. So really, a lot of ways. I mean, in case there weren't enough ways for you to die in a hospital, luckily technology is now there to provide several more. Well, that one. Cars, just all of the death. Just you die. Just all of the death.
Just don't even get in a car.
Don't. Are you kidding?
Don't get around a car.
Don't get near cars. Don't. Yeah. If you find yourself near a parking garage, just run.
And I would. I would like to give props to Mr. Brad Petrino Esquire for his lovely take on the don't be the one or the five, because the car will kill you.
That was a great episode.
He should be on this one too, talking about these.
He should, but he was on last week. So,
but
calm down.
But the car is not going to drive me to my job because it's been replaced by a 3D printer.
Oh, that's true.
And the robots will get the groceries for me, so I never have to leave my house.
See, I really feel
so. Like Danielle, I only have to protect myself in my home.
But which, of course, will have the radio blasting, the AC down to 68, and a little
not
Roomba
68.
Trying
try
to
like
stab you with a little
58.
Plastic shiv. And then there was the in-home robots, which is what they're saying is coming next. I mean, we've already got things like the Echo or the Dot, apparently.
The Echo, the Dot, or there's a third one.
Yeah, the whatever they are. There's a whole bunch of them out there.
Yeah, it's basically Alexa in your house. It's Amazon talking to you.
Right. So those will eventually turn into some form of
moving around
iRobot, like iRobot style thing.
Right.
And the concern with that is that those are so hackable. They are just hackable. The report said from the back door, front door, and side door. I don't know what a side door hack is, but they're going to be able to do that too.
So you still haven't seen humans, right?
I've seen lots of humans.
It was a TV show. I think it was done by BBC or something, but it was like a sci-fi show about like AI that looked like humans, and someone hacked it. Like literally plugged into it, hacked her, and changed her.
I have been reading sci-fi since I was a little kid, so I've read this story 1,000 times.
Yeah, but it was on a TV show recently.
Oh, well, in that case.
But nowhere as near as good as some of the anime.
Oh, my God. Mm. Oh, just... Ghost in the Shell?
Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell? Anyway, so those robots will also kill you, probably with their bare, cold, mechanical hands.
So I just want to point out that the Pentagon has funded a study that is proving everything I say every week.
Right. Now, here's the thing, though. One of the things that they will do with this, and one of the things the Pentagon is looking at using some of this stuff for, as they work towards building Skynet, and I wish I was joking about that, but I'm not.
No.
Is there a bunch, tons of data mining. And so they're hacking through all of our personal information. These robots are able to hack through all of our personal information and develop profiles on us as to how likely we are to be a threat and all that stuff. So when they do that, you're doomed, Danielle.
Why?
Because you've been speaking out against them.
Oh.
Whereas I, and I just want to say this one more time, welcome our robot overlords.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And I want you to know I will miss you as much as the robots allow me to miss you, and not a speck more. I'll ask the robot how many tears I'm allowed to shed.
And how many do you think the robot will tell you?
I don't care. Whatever he says is correct, because I welcome our robot overlords. Yeah.
And then you can create you a virtual little... Danielle. To be your virtual friend.
Now I've got a new co-host.
Al, I just want to tell you, you've got a little bit of the crazy eye going on. You may want to tone it down.
Listen, in 5 years, when the robots kill you, yeah. Yeah. And sadder robot news. Kenny Baker, who was R2-D2 and just all of the things, has passed. He died this past Saturday, August 13th, 81 years old, due to a chronic illness. I don't have any jokes here. I don't have any quips or sarcastic bullshit. Just respect, because that guy was awesome. And you can read about him online. You can read about some of the things that other folks have said about him. I mean, I can't pretend like I knew the guy personally or anything, you know, but just everybody has just said over and over again that he was amazing. He was awesome to work with. And he gave us one of the most iconic characters in period. Like, it locally, internationally, it doesn't matter. It's R2-D2, man.
Yeah.
Like...
I don't know who this guy is. Can you give me a little synopsis of like how he was R2-D2?
He was the guy inside R2-D2.
So he's like R2-D2 suit man.
Yeah, he's okay. The guy inside. Yeah, him.
So is he just really short? Or
yeah, he was. Oh. I don't see now. I don't know the politically correct term.
Little person.
I don't think that was the
no.
Right
I think
small
it
human?
Is.
Is it little person?
Small I think human. It is little okay. person.
Whatever the appropriate term is, yes. Because I'm not trying to be disrespectful or mean to him at all. Mm. Like. I mean, he was the guy who did it. He originally didn't want to turn it down because he didn't want to spend a whole bunch of time in a robot suit, and then he did, and then he really did spend a lot of time in a robot suit. I mean, that's
yeah. The article said that he also worked on like Labyrinth.
Oh yeah, no, he's done a ton of other ton of other stuff, but nothing nearly as big as
of course
as R2-D2. So
wait, are you trying to say the Labyrinth isn't as big as Star Wars?
Okay, first of all, Labyrinth is. Phenomenal.
Labyrinth
but his
is everything.
Role in Labyrinth
the
was not
Labyrinth
as big.
Is everything.
Okay. I mean, I'm not arguing that point. I'm just saying that his role in there was not.
You watched it the first time after David Bowie died, right? Yeah, yeah. Bandwagon.
Excuse me?
Uh oh.
Excuse me.
Here she goes.
What do you got?
The Labyrinth.
No, don't. I cannot defend it myself. I've never seen it.
Don't even. Oh my God! Are you kidding?
Don't even bring it. Yeah.
I forfeit. He just trolled. He just masterfully trolled.
Oh my, you are a cyber bully.
Epic bluff. Troll. All the above.
You are the worst.
All right, let's dig in now. Okay, so now we're going to, okay, we got through all of those. Now we're going to spend some time talking about DC. I don't even have a full damn it DC here.
I think it's funny that that someone came out and was like, oh, well, I think Wonder Woman is crap. And the director is like, no, blah, 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 all on Twitter, like multiple tweets.
So you know what? I was going to start with Black Adam and Shazam. We'll start with Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
so,
I went in the chronological order that you said, I think.
Oh, well, that'll teach
or
you.
Or did I not?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. So,
no, I didn't. I lied.
Okay, great. So, Wonder Woman. So there was an open letter that was written, and I would be using air quotes if you guys could see me, so we'll just quote-unquote open letter. We'll do like that. That was written basically just ripping apart Warner Brothers and DC. I want to read a snippet from this thing. People inside are already confirming it's another mess, the writer reveals. It's almost impressive how you keep rewarding the same producers and executives for making the same mistakes over and over. Here's the thing. That is dubious. You know, like, that didn't feel like... It was supposed to be from somebody who was laid off, there was a big, massive layoffs.
Yeah.
Like, a thousand people or so lost their jobs. It was bad. Probably because their movies keep failing. I'm not positive. But this letter just looks, I'm not convinced this was from an employee. And if it was, I'm not convinced this was from, like, this isn't from some, like middle or upper manager who's making important decisions. This is some guy who is answering phones for somebody and just got let go because he was,
and
or her.
It sounds vague. It sounds like something somebody posted on the Facebook, you know, column.
Exactly. Exactly.
It sounds like something someone would go on to, like, Glassdoor.com and say about their boss, and none of it is true.
Exactly. So this set off Patty Jenkins, who is the director
for
Wonder
Woman. This didn't set her off. This lit her frickin' world on fire.
Yeah.
She, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 tweets in a row. Boom, 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 boom. Because she was not having any of it.
And you know, when you read them, they kind of read like, there was this girl in high school that I knew. Yeah, I'd be honest with you, like, you'd say something that you didn't even realize was going to touch a nerve. This one obviously was going to touch a nerve.
Just out of the five, my favorite tweet, because if you read them in a row, it reads like a letter. But if you were to just take them out of context, my favorite one is, "Zero about the movie we are making has been called a mess by anyone in the know. Fact." Okay, that sounds like someone who is like, yeah, well, my mom said that my bike is better. Fact.
It does. It feels like a high school girl ranting.
Right. Like, she is just angry.
And here's the problem. Nobody was concerned about Wonder Woman.
Not at all.
And now...
I'm feeling concerned.
I'm like, Patty, calm down.
Patty, cool it. You're cool. Well,
and you know, there's all these directors, CEOs, big-time people that are in the media. They get advice. People tell them, don't respond to the criticism, right?
Right.
So maybe this letter or something is a more truthful source, more
possible.
Deeper cut.
See, that's the thing.
Possible.
Is like, why would she go to Twitter with all of these tweets if she wasn't feeling like it struck a nerve?
Actually, here's the thing. Here's why you would. I want you to imagine for a moment. You're the director of the you're a female director.
I wouldn't.
Of the first female-led superhero movie ever.
Yep.
Also, it's DC.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
And you've
do
just
that.
Watched BVS drop, and then you watch Suicide Squad drop, and you're looking around going, son of a bitch. At that point, I get you're being a little paranoid, little sensitive.
All I want to say to Patty is, my mama told me when I was young that if it's not true, it can't hurt you.
That is categorically untrue.
And a country song.
And so
my mama told me, this is your one chance, Fancy, don't let me down. But I feel like that
okay,
was...
Okay, Reba.
That may not have been applicable here.
I'm just saying, like, the more upset she gets in the public eye, the more we're going to think that this has legs to stand on.
Exactly.
Like, don't... Like, just
it's going to be fine.
Just calm it down, Patty. We're going to watch your movie. Don't worry.
I mean, I will. I mean, the preview looks great.
We all... somehow are still watching the DC movies. Don't worry. Just because we blast them and Rotten Tomatoes has basically broken your studios doesn't mean that we won't still pay you money to see them. Relax. You're going to get your payday. I promise.
I don't think she's concerned about her payday.
She's concerned about something.
Of course she is. She's the first female director. First female superhero.
Okay.
DC.
Well, she is not.
Damn it, DC.
She is not making a name for herself among feminists.
That may be true. I don't run in a whole lot of feminist circles. They don't. They stopped inviting me to the meetings.
She is defending her character, though.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's her baby. You know,
for
like
sure.
That's. I get it. I just.
But the letter was attacking the studio. It wasn't attacking her or her movie.
Well, the letter says at some point that Wonder Woman was also a mess. Like, it was just kind of like. Offhanded like comment.
It was like the third PPS. Oh, PPS. Wonder Woman sucks.
Yeah. And the other thing that I keep thinking though is it's really hard to articulate any form of a real response on Twitter at 140 characters that each
exactly.
Like
right,
not,
right. Which I'm is not, why maybe she should have taken to I don't know Facebook or something instead,
or just typed LOL and then left it at that. That really would have been...
Yeah, that would have been so... That would have been A, classy. B...
LOL is always classy.
Right, but it would have... Like,
you know it's not classy? ROFL. That's not classy.
Not even a little
no.
bit. But you know
it's
super classy? LMAO.
Yeah.
Every time.
Oh, yeah.
Every time. If she had said LOL, we would have been like, okay, she obviously isn't taking this seriously. It means nothing to her. It's not true.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm just saying maybe Patty should listen to us for social media.
Patty, come on board. I'll introduce you to somebody who can handle your Twitter for you. Her name's Elizabeth. Her name's Elizabeth. She'll handle it. I'm just letting you know. Elizabeth gets shit done. On the other side of the DC world, before we get into Suicide Squad, Shazam.
Yeah, I only know Shazam as the app that tells me what song is playing.
Okay.
Very different.
FYI.
Yeah, okay, so let's that's a good point. Let's back up.
Okay.
So Shazam is a DC character. I still know him as Captain Marvel, but I guess that's not his name anymore, which makes sense because Captain Marvel's kind of confusing since Captain Marvel is under DC.
Right. Why did DC have a character called Captain Marvel?
It is a long story, and it doesn't matter.
Will you tell me someday? Because I'm really interested.
Yeah, actually, I will refer you to one of our comic book senior comic book correspondents, Oral Fryer over at a comic shop, or Eddie Figueroa, who's been a frequent guest on the show. Actually, I bet Dan Benoit. I bet. What am I saying?
Benoit
Producer Dan.
Yeah,
Benoit Producer Dan would be able to give you the full history on it.
Okay.
I like know the overarching high level stuff, but I'm going to get some of the details wrong.
Like, did they specifically call him Marvel, knowing that their biggest rival was Marvel?
It boils down to that DC and Marvel used to be friends, right?
Actually, no, it boils down to they've been in pissing contests forever.
Pissing contests, got it.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Although they did
sense.
Go through a frenemies phase.
That's actually why I'm going to name my kid after Al.
Right.
As a pissing contest.
Right, right. I mean, it makes sense.
I'm going to raise a better Al.
I think you're pissing against my mom at that point.
Yeah,
yeah. You probably want to name him, like, Malcolm or
okay.
Something.
Yeah, Xavier. I don't want to piss on your mom.
Xavier, then just go for Dan.
Your mom's amazing.
She's pretty good. I mean, I'm a fan. I just, you know, me personally.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Shazam, this is the character.
Okay, so Billy Shazam Batson. Is not the app, it's a character.
No, this is a comic book character.
Right.
Billy Batson is a kid. I mean, the age kind of ranges, but usually he's around like 11 years old, plus or minus a couple years.
So a child.
Right. And thanks to magical origin story, whenever he yells Shazam, a giant bolt of lightning strikes him and he turns into
Superman.
Basically Superman. He can fly. He's super strength. A lot of the Superman guy doesn't have. He doesn't have like the eyes or the breath weapon, but he's about as strong and can fly like Superman can.
This does not seem legit.
It's a comic book.
Right. I mean, yeah, that makes it. This not. However, the alien from Krypton that got put into a rocket that was shot to Earth.
I didn't say that was legit either.
But Shazam's.
What was that cartoon with the little green alien? Was it that
Marvin
Shazam?
The Martian?
No. No, not Marvin the Martian. I feel like there was a little cartoon, a cartoon guy named Shazam.
You're reaching way back.
Yeah. Point here is there's a Shazam movie coming out. DC DC character, but the part that had got my attention on this, because Shazam's a decent character.
The only part that matters, honestly.
Exactly. Is the bad guy. The bad guy for Shazam is a guy named Black Adam, who is, very important, not actually black, but he gets the power from a similar area. His relates back to ancient Egypt. Doesn't terribly matter. What does matter is two things. Number one, Black Adam is a badass. Number two, Dwayne The Rock Mo-fuggin' Johnson has been cast as Black Adam. She doesn't seem as excited by this as she needs to be.
I'm still looking for what I was
thinking.
This
is one of those roles that The Rock was born to play.
The Great Gazoo, that's what I was thinking.
I am so glad you took our time. That was absolutely worth.
Okay, so Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he's going to be a bad guy. Awesome.
Oh my God, I hate you so much. Like with.
I actually don't think that's awesome.
Get out.
I mean, is it awesome?
Elijah, do you want to be my new co-host?
Tell me why it's awesome then.
The Rock?
Yeah, I know who he is.
Then I don't understand where your confusion lies.
He's
The Rock is awesome.
The biggest, baddest action star. He's funny.
He's
cool.
An action star.
He called Vin Diesel a candy ass.
Maybe I have to see it to believe it kind of thing. So he's going to be the villain.
He's going to be the bad guy. Now, we've never
but
seen The Rock.
But he's not black.
No, well, Black Adam is actually Egyptian.
So why do they call him Black Adam? Is that not racist to begin with?
No, the color black is not automatically racist. And his outfit isn't black. Much similar, another DC hero, the Red Tornado, wears red. Not offensive to American Indians, just literally like he was wearing red. But I do feel like it's important because superheroes occasionally have been known to do these kind of like...
Once again, let us remind you, comic books are not rooted in reality.
Not at all. Although, even though Egypt is a real place, the rest of it's not. The rest of it, that's where the... So Black Adam... but Black Adam is a really pretty interesting bad guy. He's pretty cool. He does a little bit of an anti-hero twinge to him. We've never seen The Rock play a bad guy before.
So what do you...
I wonder if he can pull it down. I believe that he can, though.
What is interesting about him other than he's an anti-hero? Like, what is his, like... Does he have a superpower? Like, what is his thing?
He wants the power that he feels like he should have been given the power that Shazam had. That
he should be able to say Shazam and have a lightning bolt.
Right.
Yes.
Why?
Because of his family and his history and whatever else. His family all gets killed and he blames Shazam for it. So there's,
is he also an 11-year-old boy? Because I feel like that's kind of part of why Shazam is Shazam.
It doesn't have to be, but yes. It's a title that's passed down through the generations.
And was it in his family line previously?
Yes. See, now I'm wishing Benoit was here because I'm afraid I'm going to start getting details wrong. Damn it, Benoit, you and your bacon. Oh my God, is this bacon's fault?
It is.
Oh no.
No.
Nothing is bacon's fault.
No.
That's true.
This is just heart disease, not DC.
Okay, so how about this? How about next week when Dan is back,
he'll school y'all a little
bit
more.
Tell me a little bit.
But you can find there's a lot of really great DC animated stuff that you can find that features Shazam and Black Adam in it. You can find a couple of them on Netflix, so you can check a couple of those out. These are pretty good. It's a lighter tone because, again, 11-year-old boy. And in the most recent iterations of it, Billy Batson is actually an orphan who's living in a foster home, and he's kind of sticks up for the little guy, but he's also kind of mean, and it's a really interesting take. I really like what they've done with it, and I'm just really interested to see The Rock suit up because The Rock was actually offered the role of either Shazam, the grown up, not the 11-year-old,
yep,
or Black Adam, and he looked at both and he said, "Nah, nah, nah. I'll be Black Adam."
So here's my question. Does Black Adam fight Shazam when he's a kid? Because that would be really rude.
No, Shazam... Well, Black Adam out the gate doesn't know that Shazam is actually an 11-year-old kid.
Oh.
But it's really fun because anytime that you have a Shazam origin story, at some point Shazam as the superhero interacts with like a Wonder Woman or some female superhero and gets stupid excited.
Because technically he's 11.
He's still an 11-year-old boy.
Even though he looks like a man.
Right, and now he's...
It's like Big!
Yeah.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah. You know what? You got me completely sidetracked here. The reason that the news on this...
It's all about The Rock.
Yeah. The Rock was already slated. This all that's old news. What's important here is that they do in an interview, we found a couple important things about what's going on here. First of all, this Shazam movie not being made by WB.
Oh.
Unlike all the other DC stuff. It's actually coming from New Line Cinemas.
Nice.
And I also want to read you this quote. "We are working with a different team, different
to be better.
We are working with a different team, different producers, directors. It's a different setup," said production partner Danny Garcia, who is working. The Rock is intimately involved with every portion of this.
Yeah, he is.
And she added that, "We don't feel fettered by or constrained by the successes or failures and challenges of the other projects."
Ha!
"That was a key component to our participation, that we be able to control the tone and the voice and do it the way that we want to."
You know what that sounds like? Deadpool.
Actually, yeah. Danielle, high five me right now. There you go.
Hashtag well just done. Saying. That's,
nicely done.
That's
yes.
Exactly what Ryan Reynolds did.
Yes.
He said, "F you all. This is my movie. Take it or leave it."
Exactly.
And look what it's done for Marvel. Well, not that Marvel needed it, but.
Yeah. Woo, finally, Marvel. Actually, Fox, though. Fox really,
did need
really
it.
Needed
and
it.
And The Rock, you know, Dwayne pulls that kind of star power. He does. Yeah.
He absolutely does. Here's the thing though. We still haven't cast anybody other than The Rock.
So are they going to have to cast like an adult and a kid like they did in Big?
Yes.
And they have to look alike?
Well, not terribly because
Shazam is like glowing or something.
Oh no, Shazam is just like, I don't know. You know, it doesn't have to look too terribly alike. This isn't Looper.
They didn't look anything alike either.
They did a pretty decent job.
Yeah,
I'm
with
told.
Prosthetics.
Right, yeah. But they don't have to do that because you know the way you look 11 and the way you like if the skin and hair are roughly the same color, we're close enough. I guess the gender, although they could be a female. I don't know if female Shazam would be That's an, I don't know. I'm sure there's a big comic book that answers
powers
that.
Of a god incarnate. It could change a lot of factors.
That's true.
And they could role play it easy. They could play it in the backstory.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. Okay, so that's all that stuff. All right, so now we're going to get into some Suicide Squad. This is going to be spoilers. So I'm going to have the full spoiler times listed when we do the thing. From this point forward, we are going to have us some spoilers. You have been warned.
Because the listeners always go to the website to check that before they listen to make sure there's no spoilers. I'm just saying.
Well, we'll also probably have it in the show notes.
We just said there were spoilers.
That's true.
You guys know. Don't give me that.
Yeah, we're saying there's spoilers. And did we get the results back from the spoiler poll? Did we not put out the spoiler poll? Maybe we will have by the time the episode drops.
I really
hope
we do.
Yay. Okay.
So initial thoughts.
My initial thought is that I would like to suggest a new title. Deadshot, Harley Quinn, and a bunch of other people.
Yeah, that's about right.
And to be fair, best characters, best actors, best everything, so I'm not upset about it, but it
really... Give me stars. How many stars?
Oh. 2.5, 3.
2.5, 3?
Out of 5, right? Not out of 10.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And I agree. I give it a solid 3 stars.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about you?
So we talked about it last week.
A little bit.
And I went back and I spent a lot of time like really thinking about this, like way more than I should have. And I actually still am coming down the same way. I'm saying 3.5 stars, maybe even 4.
So,
it was a lot of fun.
So like just one of the biggest controversies right now, I think, is Joker and Jared Leto's take on it. And I really feel like he obviously was going in a different direction than Heath Ledger, but I think coming off of Heath Ledger, mm-hmm. I think you're going to have a hard time no matter what.
Okay, so you want to start with Joker?
I do.
Okay.
I think he was very cartoonish, which is good because that's what they were going for.
You think he was cartoonish?
Yes. I don't think he was as scary as he probably could have been. And he just looked psycho and weird. Like, I didn't buy it all of the time.
Okay, so you've seen obviously Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yep.
Jack Nicholson's, and you've seen Mark Hamill's.
I've heard, you've seen
Batman the Animated Series?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm assuming you haven't seen a whole lot of Cesar Romero's Joker.
Who's that?
Adam West, 60s?
No.
Okay, that's fine.
I think he was going for a little bit of Heath and a little bit of Mark.
Yeah, I actually think he was, and I know, there's a really good article defending Leto's Joker, however you feel about it, on the Geek Street Station. JLMO actually did a really, she does Granny Geek, so she brings up the old lady version to the whole geek thing, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she did an article defending, and she actually compared Leto's Joker. She says that she feels like it pulled a lot from Cesar Romero's Joker, which I think was kind of with a little bit of the clowny face makeup, a little bit stuff. And I don't know. I think I kind of agree with you. I think he was trying to get as far from Ledger as possible.
Well, and to be fair, he should, because
absolutely.
Otherwise he's going to look like he's just trying to be Heath Ledger. But I don't feel like it was far enough. Like I feel like, I don't know. I personally think Jared Leto is a very, very good actor. I don't think he is an amazing actor. Like I don't look at Jared Leto and go like I do with Heath Ledger. Like, oh my God, anything he does, he is amazing in.
You know what? I want to pause it real quick. Let's talk about that, because something occurred to me with Ledger. So Ledger's last role is, you know, his last role was obviously, effectively his last role was the Joker.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you look at Ledger's big lineup before that,
he's a great actor.
No. First Night.
10 Things I Hate About You.
10 Things I Hate About You and Brokeback Mountain.
But
I always put Heath Ledger in the same camp as like Freddie Prinze Jr. And he almost was until he had the Night, right?
Right,
and
First
then,
Night.
And then Joker came
out of nowhere. I actually think he was very good in I know that a First Night wasn't like a true like serious film, but he was very good in it.
Oh no, I loved First Night.
I'm going to defend that.
No. But what I'm saying here is that we talk about
his body,
acting prowess.
His body of work was nothing compared to what Jared's has been.
Sure, but I'm saying that Heath Ledger in particular, if you take the Dark Knight out of the running, if you mm-hmm. take his Joker out of the running, his body of work looks drastically different.
Yeah, if you look at his body of work leading up to the Dark Knight, nothing in those movies prepares him for the Dark Knight. Nothing. And no way.
Nothing was to indicate it. That is not to take away from his Joker performance.
Not
clearly,
at all.
Heath Ledger had an incredible range that was kind of wasted. I think.
Did none of you see Ned Kelly? Because he totally played Ned Kelly.
I don't know. No.
No idea.
No idea. Okay. I mean, I'm talking, and it's true. I wasn't a huge Heath Ledger fan prior to. I really enjoy First Night. I will always watch First Night when it's on television. But 10 Things I Hate About You, him and Julia Stiles, I'll do this, dude. I love 10 Things I Hate About You.
But his Joker was the most nuanced Joker, I think, period. I mean, he brought so much to the character that you got to watch this movie 3, 4, 5 times to really catch on to.
I think here's the thing. Heath Ledger, let's compare Heath Ledger to another Joker, Jack Nicholson. Heath Ledger had the quality that Jack Nicholson does, that when he is in a role, you lose the actor. You lose him. When Heath Ledger was the Joker, we didn't think about Heath Ledger. We saw the Joker.
You see that he did that with the Joker. He did it with the Joker. Yeah. I'm not convinced that the character in First Night and the character in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Okay, well, let's.
So,
okay, but let's.
I'm sorry. You know what? You're right. You're right.
But
I'm,
here to defend Jared Leto, because I know the direction you're going. He is not a main character in the movie. He's not a primary role.
And maybe if his character had been fleshed out more, then I would feel differently. But I think there was so much hype about him being the Joker that I was expecting more.
Sure.
Is that fair?
Everybody was.
So, all right, let's talk about something else.
Well, no. Elijah, what were your impressions of Leto?
I loved him.
Yeah.
I felt like he was, it was his first time playing the role. And
right.
He didn't seem 100% comfortable, but I thought he brought a lot to it. It's sort of a new age, you know, inner city type of Joker feel, but I think you're right. He stayed true to that old style, over the top, you know,
right.
comical style, but brought it into this whole, you know, techno, you know, the neon lights. Every time the Joker was in a scene, it lit up.
Yeah.
The movie itself is. You know, cinematically, it's kind of bland.
And dark.
But whenever the Joker's in a scene.
There was like neon
lights,
and
bright
gases
colors,
and
everything changed.
Yeah.
So I kind of agree with that. So I've warmed up to him a lot more since last week. I've been really thinking about it. A couple things that came off. Number one, I've decided I really like the laugh.
The laugh is incredible.
And the laugh is crucial. I mean, it's a huge part of the. I mean, if you want to talk about the one thing that Mark Hamill's Joker does, that I mean, I think Mark Hamill captures the essence of the Joker more than anyone else. I like Hamill's Joker more than Ledger's Joker, me personally. But his laugh and that Leto's laugh, really strong,
good. Is that Leto laughing though? Is that his laugh?
And
know?
See,
yeah.
here's the thing.
I didn't know that for sure.
I didn't even think his laugh was memorable.
Oh really? Oh wow. See,
it did not stand out to me at all.
Every time there was a dark corner. This a minute of silence. I was waiting for that laugh just to appear. Every time he sent a text message to Harley Quinn, I'm just waiting for that laugh.
And it was off camera a lot, which was a pretty interesting idea.
Yeah.
Also, the gangster feel. So the original Joker in the comic books, the first time, Joker's a one-off, one-issue bad guy that they brought back. He actually dies at the end of it, mm-hmm. and then they bring him back. And it's this is during the Silver Age. It's real cheesy, cheeseball comic stuff. He's like a 30s, 40s gangster, something like that. So I feel like part of what they were doing here was trying to go back to the original Joker in that regard.
Right.
And he does. You get more of the crime boss than the supervillain out of him.
The over-the-top versus crazy.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, he's over-the-top, but still... I don't want to use the term realistic because that's not the right word for that, but maybe grounded a little bit more.
Well, Heath Ledger's Joker was maniacal. Like, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, it's extreme.
Heath Ledger's Joker was unhinged.
Yes.
Yes.
He was, very much so.
He was flat out unhinged.
I'm also stuck. I think one of the things that I'm struggling with is the tattoos as well. The damaged across the forehead.
Yeah.
Felt a little.
I didn't like it.
Yeah. And the grill. I don't know. I just don't know.
Well,
that part I'm still a little stuck
he's a,
on.
He's a much younger character as the Joker,
right.
Which makes sense. And if you know anything about the the prison system or the underground world, that's a big part of it.
So I kind of came down in the middle on that one. But and I think this is the piece that's missing from every for most of the conversations about the Joker. Unlike every other Joker. This one, except for with even including Mark Hamill's Joker, mm-hmm. the huge difference here is his relationship with Harley Quinn.
Yeah, he actually is into Harley Quinn. He's not just using her.
Right, probably.
Well, that we know of. But like in the animated series and in like when I haven't finished the one that the one comic book that's like the big one.
Right. Right. I know what you're talking about. Go ahead.
Anyways, but he just kind of tolerates her because like he uses her for his plots and stuff. He doesn't really care about her. In the movie, he does seem to genuinely care about her.
Exactly. Now, he's still a psychopath, and this is still an abusive relationship.
By far.
I don't want to gloss
basically,
over that.
Like they say in the very beginning, she was trying to fix him, and he basically pulled her over to his side. Ha, just kidding.
They give you the flashbacks, though, the sort of hints that he doesn't want to. You know, like when he pushes her in the vat, and he turns away, and he just... You know, he sort of fights himself, then he goes in after her. But, and there's other times he acts that way throughout the movie as well.
Well, almost like
a begrudging.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Well, and this whole thing starts with, they show him torturing her, which is not good, and convincing her to jump into a vat of acid, also not great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had some rough relationships. Neither one of them involved torture like that.
If only you were so smooth.
But the first thing he does is ask her to bring him a machine gun. And this was something in my conversation with JMO that she pointed out. I got to give her credit for this. Not only does Harley Quinn come in, get him a machine gun, she apparently gets him several machine guns and people to operate them.
Yeah.
Because Joker's still in his cell when all of a sudden all of these guys come in to kill a bunch of people and save her. So she's...
One of the things I liked is when he says to her, he says, "Will you die for me?" And she goes, "Yes." And he goes, "No, too easy. Will you live for me?" Like, he's so mind screwing with her all the time.
Which you need, like, you know, Heath Ledger's Joker. Not to take anything away, he was so unhinged. You don't see any possibility of him interacting with another human being in any profitable way.
Right.
Whereas
right.
with Jared Leto, you look at it and say, he's crazy, but
he's got a plan. Hamill had a plan.
Right. And he may actually care about Harley. And I think that's the million-dollar difference. And I think that's what changes, that's what turns the entire style of this Joker, is whether or not he actually cares about Harley Quinn.
Which we won't really know
until
the next one.
Because there's two real possibilities here. One, they have this Bonnie and Clyde, they love each other, but they're both deranged kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or he's super abusive and super controlling and just can't stand the idea of her having another friend.
Right.
Neither one of those relationships that I think I get a little concerned because we've been really venerating this relationship, and you know, like, there's 100,000 high schoolers out there who are now in relationships who are like, "Oh, we're like the Joker and Harley." And I'm like, no, don't be like that. No matter which one of those is true, don't do that.
Hey, it just goes to show, for every crazy, there's a love.
So that was that one. Here's what I loved about this movie. Zooming out from Joker to the movie as a whole.
Okay.
I love the cast.
Abso-frickin-lutely.
Will Smith is Will Smith.
Incredible.
He's
that guy can do no wrong.
He's playing a Will Smith character.
I have never seen Will Smith in a movie where I walked away being like, God, that just wasn't.
I did like, you know,
After Earth.
I didn't see it.
Okay, don't.
He brought some chops because he did play him very sort of rigid.
Yeah.
Whereas Will Smith, so used to playing these real, just
like the more flamboyant
or real casual. You know, he was very rigid. He played it pretty well.
Yeah, and he was still a badass.
Yeah, and a badass.
And to be fair, my only Deadshot experience is with Arrow, and played him very, very differently. Very differently.
Deadshot's been played. That's not the normal way you would play
Deadshot. And the fact that he is ruled by his relationship with his daughter, who happens to know who he is and still loves him, like
they really did give him a lot of the anti-hero.
Big time. Like all of the conflict.
Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, who just nailed it. She nailed it.
I don't have a lot of experience with Harley Quinn, like on screen.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love her voice.
Oh, really?
I thought it should have been a little bit more high-pitched.
Oh, she gets that, like, just
like twang
when she
says
puddin',
when she says like puddin' or whatever.
She gets that twang of, like, Jersey accent, and oh, it's awesome.
No, I like her accent. It's just, I don't know. I liked her, and I thought the sex appeal was there, the crazy was there. There was something missing, and I couldn't put my finger on it.
What I love the most about her, though, is you at times don't know if the crazy is real or put on.
I think that's what it was. I think it's because she looked like she acted so normal, and I was expecting someone more like like the Joker, like just completely out there.
Right.
But I think that's part of Harley Quinn's appeal is that you don't know if she's crazy or just messing with you.
Oh, no, she's absolutely crazy.
Right.
But yeah, but there's that one point when she's standing there. It was in the previews where she's standing there while they're getting briefed and she says, what's that? You know, I should kill all these people.
That's the voices.
Right, right.
That can't tell them apart.
Right there, you're like, I think that might have been a bit. You kind of get the feel. But there's also this part where Batflick shows up on top of their car.
Right.
And she
freaks the F out.
And he says in the narration that she was the more dangerous of the two. Like Batman acknowledges and tells the audience in a very explicit way, which is a little ham-fisted, but
yeah, exactly.
That Harley Quinn is a force to be reckoned with all by herself.
Well, given she's only armed with in this movie, a baseball bat, which is annoying because they sort of show her with the hammer at the beginning, but
mallet.
They give her
that was fan service.
Yes, fan service. But they give her the baseball bat. It she has no special powers, but the unpredictability, the craziness of it,
and the talented gymnast. You know, and she's and
flexibility.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they give
attractiveness.
Her a little bit of that.
I mean,
yeah. Sure, it doesn't hurt to be pretty.
No.
Also, I gotta tell you, she's not Viola Davis as Amanda Waller.
On freaking real.
I don't think she's given. I do not think she's getting enough credit.
I'm
very honest.
I've always been a fan of Viola Davis. I'm a big fan of How to Get Away with Murder, and as you know, I've been watching Arrow and the Flash and all that, and so I'm familiar with Amanda Waller as a person, as a character, and Viola played her keeping everything to the chest, as this is a need to know basis. F you, I'm going to kill you all. Kill them right now. She was flawless. I think because she was the one doing the table setting at the beginning. Perfect. Perfect, perfect person.
By the end of the movie, you hate her so much.
But I loved
her. It's unbearable.
At the same time.
That's how good she plays her role.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
how good her character's written in the show as well.
And Amanda Waller, the character, is a personal favorite. I love where she's at. I love who her character is. I think she's one of the best DC character out there. I mean, I like her better than most DC superheroes or supervillains. You've got this really... Because you know where she's at. You know what's going on here.
She's the person where she legitimately thinks that the ends justify the means.
Exactly.
And that's all that matters. All that matters is we need to stop this. I don't care how we get there. I don't care who we kill. We just need to stop this. And if this is the only way we can do it, then she believes that. So hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
So hardcore.
And when they were casting, I was terrified here because in the comic books, in the cartoons, and if you want to see Amanda Waller as she should be, Justice League Unlimited, the cartoon series is available on Netflix, has several episodes with Amanda Waller and Cadmus, which is the organization, the Shadow quasi-government organization that she runs. They portray her perfectly there. And in it, she is not this skinny, the super tiny, skinny, young, whatever. She looks like a more of a real person than 90% of comic book characters, period. And I was afraid that they were going to turn around and cast some
beautiful, young,
and not to say that Viola Davis is not a beautiful woman.
No,
but I don't want a supermodel. I want somebody who looks like brutal efficiency from the word go. And Viola Davis nailed it.
Yes, absolutely.
And then honorable mention to Jay Hernandez as Diablo. I know some people thought he was absolutely fantastic. He was good.
He was just one of the other characters in the movie to me. Like he did not, they didn't flesh him out enough at all. And by the way, Killer Croc, totally pointless.
Yeah, well, most of the rest of them were.
Yeah.
Captain Boomerang.
Absolutely pointless.
I mean, I did one of the things that I heard about, what was it?
Literally, they were only there so that they could actually call it Suicide Squad.
Slipknot? Slipknot shows up. So Slipknot punches a girl in the face and then gets his head blown off. And that's the entirety of
his 5 seconds of screen time.
Yeah.
That's the entirety of his just so we can show that somebody died.
Boomerang could have been less annoying.
His arrival was literally a plot device to show us the stakes.
Right.
That they have to know their stakes. Mm-hmm. You will die.
Lazy writing.
It's not just, what did they say it was? It was like, they said it was like the placebo effect or whatever, that it wasn't really going to work. And that's why they were, it was literally to show them the stakes. That's
right.
Stupid.
But Captain Boomerang, you were saying.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, he could be a little less annoying.
Oh, right.
It's almost like they brought him in as a comic relief.
Yeah.
But he wasn't funny.
No, he wasn't.
Actually, no. He had one of the greatest moments in the movie, though.
He just asked Katana, several times, I want to be your boyfriend.
When Randall Flagg, their military leader,
Rick.
Says yeah. Rick Flagg, so Randall Flagg. Rick Flagg says, "You know what? This is bullshit. I'm done." And he snaps it. He goes, "You guys are free to go." Boomerang says, "Bye." Grabs a couple beers and just takes off. And I know he comes back, but watching him take off was the most realistic thing that happened in that entire damn movie.
Yes,
because he also, like Harley Quinn, has no superpowers, but boomerangs.
Exactly.
Like, that's the entirety of his. So I also enjoyed, I thought it was a great action flick. The music was really great. I thought it had a lighter tone than a lot of the other ones, a lot of the other recent DC movies. So that's what I like. The bad, there's tons of it, but the weird plot, the odd pacing.
They set up at the very beginning that the Enchantress is going to be like the bad guy that they're trying to stop. But then it like derails and weaves in and out, kind of like BVS did. Like,
yeah,
they don't make it clear enough that, you know, what's the lady's name? Viola,
Amanda Waller.
Amanda Waller. That she orchestrates the release. I mean, it's hard to understand.
Yeah, bits and pieces of it. Yeah, kind of funky, kind of weird there. I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of wasted time, a lot of wasted characters.
I wouldn't say wasted time. I would say they were trying to do so much character development that it was almost too much.
But they, you know,
for an ensemble cast,
right?
Well, they kept it very self-contained. I think it was more well done than some of the Avengers, where they have such a huge cast and they introduce them throughout the movie, and they never get to introducing the bad guys properly, or they just go to these big action scenes to finalize everything. You know, having the main evil character as part of the original ensemble, so they get the introduction, you sort of save some of the bad guy introduction. I thought it was very self-contained overall.
I think, honestly, and I don't know anything about the Enchantress, I thought her whole character, like the way she moved, I thought that was all super weird.
That was weird.
It did not fit in that dark movie at all.
No.
Like, when she started dancing, I was like, is that really how she moves?
Such a weird choice.
Like, I understand she's the Enchantress, but, like, is that what happens in the comic books?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
It was so weird. So weird.
I also thought, I think it's kind of, you mentioned, they were a little too heavily reliant on Will Smith and Margot Robbie to carry the movie.
No, they were all reliant.
And so there was a couple points where I felt like some of Harley Quinn's lines probably shouldn't have been, like, some of her lines felt a little weird, a little forced.
Line scenes, like
but
the elevator scene, that was very forced.
That's, I think, what it was about Margot Robbie, is that they focused so much on her that some of her, like, lines and her craziness should be supporting, but it was the focus.
Yeah, she was forced to carry. I mean, her and Will Smith carried the movie. And
yeah.
That was a rough one. So here's my, I'll give you guys your final take here. Here's my final take. Is this a mess? Yes. Is it fun? Absolutely. Was there too much studio interference? Did it screw up the movie? Uh-huh. Almost certainly. But was it overly reliant on music and text? I mean, the music was a little heavy-handed. The text, there's a lot of weird text that popped up and left the screen. You couldn't even read it all. All that stuff, yes, absolutely. But if you understand this to be a summer popcorn flick, and that's it, if you just turn your brain off, eat your popcorn, and shut up, you'll really enjoy it.
Absolutely.
If you start thinking about what's going on here, it all falls apart.
I mean,
and that's okay with me. Like I say, I don't have a problem with that.
I mean, some of the performances could be Oscar worthy if they gave Oscars to these kinds of movies, but it was not an Oscar flick at all. And you can't approach it like that. And also, I feel like it still did a better job of raising the bar from BVS. I feel like it's helping DC a little bit. But it was still a mess.
Eli, what's your final thoughts?
You know, I liked it. I thought it was, like I said, self-contained. It was, I felt it fluid enough, but it was very enjoyable. A nice summer flick. It's making a lot of money. That's for sure.
Well, it took a huge tumble week two. I didn't get the numbers before we started recording. But week two, Sausage Party took it.
No, Sausage Party came in second, I believe.
We'll
fact check. After the show.
That's what Danielle, we got a keyboard jockey for just that. Danielle, see how the weekend did.
But to finish, Harley Quinn got a lot of airtime. Will Smith carried the movie, but I'm still disappointed how much Joker there was. Not enough development, and I want to see the Joker movie.
Suicide Squad won the weekend.
Suicide Squad did win the weekend.
Yeah, $43 million over 34.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, no, point to Eli. Point to Eli. Okay, that's going to do it for our spoilers. So you are now spoiler free, ladies and gentlemen. So let's get into our shameless plugs. I actually am going to start because I actually need to shamelessly plug one of our listeners.
Ah.
Yeah. Jeffrey, I'm not going to do last names because I don't know if he'd want me to share his last name.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeffrey
probably not.
Was the one who actually came to me with the Killer Robots article that we discussed earlier. He also was the one who got on me for not getting the poll out that I should have gotten taken care of a while ago. So that one's on me. But Jeffrey, thank you for the story. Thank you for the shout out. Thank you for he comments all the time. He's awesome. So we're really glad to have you as a listener. We hope we're doing you proud, man. So shout out to him for that. Anything else I'm shamelessly plugging? No, I'm done. What do you got? What do you got for us, Danielle?
I would like to shamelessly plug last week's episode with Mr. Brad Petrino Esquire because he gave me a shout out and said all of my picks were right. So booyah, bitches.
He did.
If a lawyer comes on and validates my choices and my picks between your awful choices, obviously, if you listen to the episode, then I think I feel legit. So
no, listen, his number one pick was garbage. I won't say what it is. Make you guys go back and listen to last week's episode, but it was garbage.
I hadn't.
Maybe
I've
Al
never
and Dan
even,
were counterplaying
I've never
each
even
other
seen
a too
his
much.
His first pick.
Yeah, bruh.
So,
bruh.
Anyways, I'm just happy that he validated me in my choices. So
I'm glad somebody does.
And shamelessly plugging, go to geekstreetstation.com.
Mm. Oh, nicely done.
We have some other partners there. Go on and check out their content.
Yep,
see some articles.
And click on some ads so we can earn more than 50 cents.
You don't have to click on them. Just scroll past them many times.
Just leave them on.
Like, refresh the page if you could every 10 seconds.
No. You don't even need to refresh because we actually get better the longer this.
Ah,
so
there
just,
we go.
Here's what I need you to do. Just turn off your screensaver, turn on geekstreetstation.com, and just go to work. Just leave it there and help us generate some of those sweet, sweet pennies.
I'd also like to shamelessly plug, not that it needs it, because it apparently is doing better than any Marvel show on Netflix, but I just finally watched the first episode of Stranger Things. I know I'm late to the party. It's been on my list, but I watched the first episode, and so far it is fan-freaking-tastic.
Actually, I haven't started yet, so you're still ahead of me.
Ha!
I got some vacation time. I'm not going to be here next week. Because I will be on.
You're letting us run the roost?
I don't know what I'm thinking. I don't have a choice in the matter. But my wife and I are taking a little PTO, and we're gonna because we don't have children, you know what we're going to do? We're going to watch television, sitting on the couch next to each other with no one talking to us.
You can't take like an hour break and come here?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'll be on the beach.
Oh, right.
I'm pretty excited about that. So I have no idea what next week is going to be like.
You know, we can rerun episodes. Other podcasts do that.
Yeah, rerun. This seems kind of dumb. Not to knock other podcasts to do that. I guess it's really kind of
exactly.
Like, really yeah. Like,
lots of podcasts do that.
Oops.
So
we're gonna rerun episode 12. Like, no, you guys can just go get episode 12. It's right there. Like, there's no. What we should have done was record extra episodes and have them in the can waiting to go, which I think is what you and producer Dan have told me to do 100 times.
Several hundred times.
Whatever. Anything? Any other shameless plugs for you?
No, I'm feeling good.
Danielle, why don't you tell them where they can find us?
You can find us on Facebook at For Geeks Sake with an apostrophe S. You can also find us on Twitter. At four, the number four.
You did it wrong.
Geeks Sake, two S's. Yeah, but you said a Twitter, like making fun of my the. So I was like,
to be original.
Okay. You can find us on the Twitter.
Thank you.
You feel better?
Her name's Elizabeth.
Her name is Elizabeth. She does an amazing job. In case you missed that, because Al interrupted me, it's at four, the number four, Geeks Sake with two S's.
Two of them.
You can also find us on geekstreetstation.com. And make sure you go on that website every single day so we can get some ad revenue up in here.
Up in here.
And that's it.
All right. Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is going to do it for us. Once again, folks, I want to thank you guys so much for listening. Please subscribe, comment, let us know what you think, what you want, what you hope, desire. Was our views on Jared Leto's Joker fair, wrong? Was Suicide Squad Oscar worthy, and we're just completely wrong? Please let us know in the comments, and we'll read some of them. So until next time, this is Al Sterling saying, I was thinking of the immortal words of Socrates, who said, I drank what?
What's that from?
Where's my shoes?
Oh, my God.